Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts?
Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Unashamedly Human, a podcast. I'm your host, Emily Chadbourne. And I would like to start today by vaguely apologising for not doing an episode last week. I came back from the UK and I hit Melbourne and I was jet lagged and I was tired and I wanted to hang out with my boyfriend and see my amazing mates and just like settle back into life. So I just chose not to record an episode. And I think when I first started this project of the Unashamedly Human podcast, I kind of promised myself that I would do everything in my power to get one out a week. But if that didn't happen for some reason, I wasn't going to beat myself up for it. And last week was one of those weeks where it didn't happen, and I'm not going to beat myself up for it. So if ever there is a week where there is a void in the old Unashamedly Human podcast, then feel free to go back to the archives, listen to an old episode, or check out any of my videos at That Crazy Thing Called Life, which is my free Facebook group, or my YouTube channel. Okie dokie. I'm going to start off with a little shout out to my elder sister for a book recommendation. I read this book on the plane and then in the first sort of couple of days on my return to Melbourne, and it's fucking brilliant. It's by Ronan Hessian, I believe. I hope I've pronounced that right. It's called Leonard and Hungry Paul, and I will link it in the show notes. This book is a perfect representation as to why I read fiction. I read a heap of fiction, probably more fiction than I read personal development books or books around manifestation or making money or business success. I reckon I read more fiction than anything else. And the reason is it gives me this vehicle to embody a different perspective on what it is to be a human being. And just through the narrative of fiction and the characterization of fictitious characters, you just get to like step into the mindset of what it would be like to be somebody else, to think in a different way, to feel in a different way, to look at the world in a different way, to hear things in a completely different way. And I find it really helps me understand myself a little bit better, and it gives me greater depth and empathy for other people. So, massive fan of fiction. Read it every night before I go to bed. And this book, like I said, is a perfect demonstration as to why I love it. So, the story isn't particularly complex. In fact, it's pretty dull, but like in a really sweet, beautiful, thought-provoking way. It's about two friends. One is called Leonard. The other is called Hungry Paul. Hungry Paul lives with his parents still. He kind of has this part-time job with a post office. Very simple, simple guy. He likes Connect Four and board games, and he doesn't really seem on the surface to have great passion or depth to him. And as the story unravels, you really begin to see this simplicity is where his wisdom lies. And he just comes out with some fucking pearls throughout the book. It's just beautiful. I'm going to read a kind of abridged part of the book to you now, just to put a little context in place for you. Hungry Paul's sister, Grace, is getting married. It's the eve of her wedding to a guy called Andrew, and she stayed at her parents' house where Hungry Paul lives the night before the wedding. And over dinner, she's basically ripped Hungry Paul a new asshole because she feels like he needs to grow up. He needs to take some responsibility. She's worried that, you know, as her parents are getting older and older and older,
their responsibility is going to be hers and hers alone. And she also feels like she's going to end up being responsible for Hungry Paul as well. And so she kind of cracks under the pressure and launches herself at Hungry Paul. And later on that night, Hungry Paul is in the bathroom brushing his teeth and contemplating, and Grace comes in and starts to apologize, and they enter this dialogue, and this is some of what Hungry Paul says to her. "We all think the world of you, Grace, but you're simply not here. You ghost in with your busyness and then you ghost off, leaving a to-do list behind you, but that's okay. I accept you for the way you are. I don't have any expectation of you. But I do wish that you were happier, for your sake, but you're not. You have this strange mix of a victim complex and a superiority complex. And yet, I am happy. So what do I say when you want me to substitute a bit of your unhappiness for what I have in my life? We don't need a family superhero. You have created a world for yourself where you have this load-bearing and sisterly duty. But it's all over now, if it ever truly existed. The film is finished. You could just be Grace. Be whichever Grace you want. Disappoint us if you want. We'll love you anyway. Yes, our parents will grow old, and yes, they will get sick, and yes, they will die, but that will happen to us too as well. Where you're wrong is that you think that's a problem in the future, but it's not. The answer to that problem is to spend time with them now, be in their lives, so that when the worst happens, which we hope is many years away, there will have been 10, 20, however many years of Scrabble and University Challenge and curries and walks and gardening and whatever else is behind us. And then, when the time comes, we'll know what to do. Not because we'll have it all figured out, but because we will have had the habit, the practice of loving them and being with them and the utter clarity that comes with that. You need to go and you need to be happy with Andrew and unfetter yourself from this story that you have about your role in the family. And then, when you come over, once a week, once a month, whenever you can, it doesn't matter. Just hang out and be yourself. No versions of Grace anymore. Not a world on her shoulders, Grace. Not why can't you all get your act together, Grace. No deferring of happiness, Grace. Just come over. And who knows? Maybe I'll have moved on. Maybe I'll be a hotshot. Or maybe I won't. But let's not test each other. Let's just be happy while there is still time. Story time is over now. You can uncurl yourself, pop your cocoa down. Leonard and Hungry Paul, and it's that kind of writing that, you know, it's like a little window into the soul of another human being. It's like a different perspective, and it, because it's so wrapped up in like an emotional journey and you're so heavily invested in these characters, when little fucking wisdom bombs like that just drop in your face, you're like, ah, my God. And it means so much more for me. I can viscerally kind of like feel that emotion and feel that paradigm shift. I can like feel that new way of thinking about life, and it kind of like drops straight to your fucking soul in a way that reading a personal development book, you know, just doesn't do the same thing for me. You know, there's that one line that Hungry Paul says, "So what do I say when you want me to substitute a bit of your unhappiness for what I have in my life?" And I'm like, fuck me, man. It was like a punch to the face when I read that, because how many of us are busy playing a role, whether it be in our family, whether it be at work, whether it be in our extended family or our friendship group, this kind of like self-imposed superhero where we feel like we have to fix everybody else and we would just be happy if that person just behaved a bit more like us. But we've just announced that we're not happy because we will only be happy when. And so what we're asking somebody else to do is trade in what is potentially their own happiness for a slice of my unhappiness so that I can be happy. It is fucked. And like, I really sat with that concept and I was like, how am I showing up in my world and how am I trying to control other people in my future, which is completely uncontrollable. Both of those things are completely fucking uncontrollable. Certainly you can learn some skills and some techniques to better influence the people around you, but like ultimately
your happiness cannot be in the hands of anybody else but you, because there are 7.7 billion people on this planet and I cannot control a single one of them. And if my happiness is dependent on them behaving in a certain way or saying a certain thing, then pff, I'm fucked. But yet we all kind of have this sort of tendency to do it. And so, yeah, it's passages like that in fiction books that are the reason I read fiction books. I find them, like, really, what's the word? Confronting is not the word. Lost it. Don't know where I was going with the end of that sentence. So we'll just put a full stop in it and move swiftly on to today's topic, which kind of is a bit of a segue from that passage anyway. Today I want to talk about, what is your purpose? So the reason that this has come up is because at the end of last week, I was having a sales conversation with a potential business mentor. So I am looking to engage a new business mentor, and I was just having this chat with this woman, and she asked me a question which I fucking hate, which is, what's your legacy? What's your why? What's your big passion? And I kind of hesitated in the answer, because more and more and more I'm really dropping into this understanding that I cannot change the world and I can't change other people. All I can do is lead by demonstration and work stuff out in my own head, in my own soul, in my own mind, and share with other women or men what I discover, so that if they choose to, they can try some of those techniques and tools and mindset sort of tricks out themselves and see if it fits for them. And this was apparently not a good enough answer. Apparently, I lack direction and passion. And I got off the call and I felt triggered, because there was, and whenever I feel triggered, I know that is my ego defensive wall, which is trying to protect me from an emotion that I don't want to feel, whether it be rejection, whether it be fear, whether it be overwhelm, whatever it is. There is a feeling that I don't want to feel. And when I get triggered, when I go into blame, when I go into shame, when I go into anger, when I go into victimhood, that is my sort of egoic wall that shoots up and is trying to protect me. Now, the effort that goes into having that egoic wall is so much more than just feeling the feeling that I don't want to feel, even if it's uncomfortable. I feel rejected, or I feel angry, or I feel hurt, or I feel, insert whatever hard feeling that we're not very good at feeling or we want to avoid feeling here. Much easier just to feel that feeling and then get the fuck over it and then get on with life than it is to, like, just be in this defensive kind of mode all of the time. The other thing about this defensive egoic wall is that whilst it's blocking out the feelings you don't want to feel, it's also blocking out the feelings you do want to feel, like happiness and joy and abundance and real deep connection with other people. Anyway, so here I am, I'm feeling triggered, and I'm sort of asking myself, okay, what's the emotion I am trying to defend myself from here? And it kind of came to me as just this feeling of, like, well, maybe I'm not. Like, the fear was, maybe I'm not passionate enough. Maybe I don't have, like, this burning desire to leave a legacy. And you see it so much in the entrepreneurial world, especially in the personal development entrepreneurial world. You know, everyone's leading with their mission statement. Everyone's got their why flag flying. You know, I'm on a one-woman mission to liberate every woman on the planet. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm cheering you in the background because I'm loving what you're doing, but I don't have that, like, I need to change the world passion. And so then I go into this, like, spiral of, like, fuck, what the fuck am I doing? I'm wasting my time. No one gives a shit about what I'm doing or what I've got to say. I'm a complete full-on, like, internal dialogue there for you. A little glimpse into what sometimes happens in my brain, because I'm a human being like everybody else. So all this fear and self-doubt and just, like, blah, 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 that just creeps in, and kind of had a little cry on my boyfriend's shoulder, who was a fucking legend, and just did not say a single word. He just completely let me word vomit all over him, and then he just turned around and there was this little pause, and then he goes, I don't think I like this business mentor woman. And I just laughed, and it was brilliant. The following day, I went for a walk with my mate Kim, who is without doubt one of the wisest women I know. And we were talking about the conversation that I'd had with this potential business mentor. And I was explaining about why I was really triggered and kind of opened up about my fear that maybe I didn't have this passion to change the entire world. So what was I doing in business? And was I dreaming big enough? And Kim turned around. She's such a fucking legend. She just turned around and she was like, well, why do you need to leave a legacy? And I was like, and she was like, who else is leaving a legacy? And I was like, everyone's leaving a legacy. And she was kind of like, really? If they're really leaving a legacy, are they talking about leaving a legacy? Because most people who are really doing that kind of work, like the Mother Teresa's of this world, they're not talking about leaving a legacy. They don't have to take a Facebook ad out to tell everybody what their mission is or what their soul's divine intention on this planet is. They are not raising the vibrational frequency of this planet one white, privileged female entrepreneur at a time. They are literally just going and being the living demonstration of somebody who is at peace with their soul and somebody who is doing the work on themselves and of somebody who is disengaging themselves from the social conditioning that created a certain paradigm, a certain thought, a certain feeling, a certain behavior, a certain action, which no longer felt good for their soul. They're the people who are contributing to the world around them, not because they're in need or desire and not using fucking fake marketing campaigns. I'm on a soul's mission too. They are literally just working out for themselves and then giving other people the opportunity to learn from them so that they can do something similar, so that they too can become upstanding contributors to the community in which we live. And I think if everybody got to the point where they stopped worrying about what their fucking purpose was, like it's some fucking school's career fucking council day and you're gonna like do some bloody multiple choice quiz and then at the end of it, some fucking grey suit is gonna turn around to you and say, well done for shuffling along the conveyor belt of capitalist society. You are going to be a nurse because you like helping people. That is your soul's passion. Off you go and do your purpose. Nor is anyone going to turn around to you and be like, oh, well done. Yep, you like clearing things up. You are going to the sewers, my friend. Soul's passion. Off you go. Enjoy it. Like, no one's saying that shit. There's such a fucking man-made construct of you should be doing this. This is your purpose on life. This is what is going to make you happy. This is, you know, your soul's mission. Bullshit. Put it down. Put it down. The people who are really on a soul's mission, who are really engaged with their highest intention, who are really fucking connected, those people aren't fucking talking about it. They're just living it. You don't see fucking Buddhist monks out there, bloody Facebook ad campaigning or, you know, They're just being, and people are just attracted to them because of their wisdom, because of the energy that surrounds them, because of their contentment, because of their ability to give back to the communities in which they live, because of their kindness, because of their compassion. And all of those things are only ever available from someone when they have done the work themselves, when they are topped up, when they have got their energy levels high, when they know where their values stand, where they know where their boundaries are at, when they know that they and they alone are the full-time job that they should be doing. And this conversation was just like, oh, like really brought me back to being unashamedly human, which is what I've always been. And I've never, ever pretended to be anything different. And I was just like, fuck, yeah. All this whole journey for me has just been about personal development. And then I talk about that personal development and I show other women what I have done to sort my own fucking shit out. And those who want to try that on for themselves are getting really awesome results. And that's brilliant. It's amazing that I get to support them in that. But ultimately, this whole journey, oh, I hate that word, the journey, has been about me coming back to myself and learning about how to strip back the fucking bullshit social conditioning and expectation and capitalism and commodity fucking porn fucking bullshit that I have been born into. And it's about coming back to learning who I am and who I want to be. And in that, I then get to be somebody who can really lead with compassion and give generously to the community around me and love wholeheartedly. And if everybody was doing that, then there would be global change. But I'm not on a one fucking woman mission to change your shit for you. Absolutely not. So this was a really fucking liberating conversation that I had with my mate Kim. And it reminded me of something that I heard Elizabeth Gilbert say in a podcast. And for the life of me, I can't remember what I feel like the podcast was with Fern Cotton, Happy Place, but I can't be 100% sure. Anyway, it was definitely Elizabeth Gilbert, and she was talking about how now she is sort of in her later life, what she has real later life. She's like 50. Fucking, come on, Em. You know, now she has got some years under her belt and she's kind of grown a little bit in wisdom. What she has worked out is that her full-time job is herself and her mental welfare. And that has got to be her full-time job. Her writing, because she's an author, Eat, Pray, Love, she's that chick, Big Magic. Her writing is her vocation, but her full-time job, the thing that she must wake up every single morning and dedicate her life to, is her own mental, physical, and spiritual health. That kind of like echoed in my brain after this conversation with Kim, and I was like, actually, if everybody took that on as their job, they put down this like desire and need and feeling of inadequacy because they haven't found their purpose yet, and they realize that their purpose is to be the best version of them, to unpack the shit that they have been taught, the behavior that they have learned, the lies that they are telling themselves, the stories that they're carrying around, to heal the pain that they have got in their heart. If every single person woke up tomorrow morning and made that their full-time job, and sure, you can have vocation, sure, you can still go out and do your thing, sure, you can still go out and teach, you can still go out and shovel shit if that's what you do for a living and you love it, awesome, rock on, whatever. But maybe, just maybe, the whole world would be in a healthier place. And that is how you create global change. That is how you create legacy. You don't create legacy by deciding, I want to do this to make loads of money, and then go and spurt around being like, I'm on a one-woman mission to raise the vibrate. Oh God, come on, give it a rest. I just want to run through some things really quickly around the first steps that I have taken in that process. So the first thing was, I asked myself, okay, well, what do I value? I'm going to link a list of values for you to look at in the show notes. And when you're doing this exercise, and I really invite you to do it, have a look at just finding maybe two or three values, as opposed to being like, oh, here are 20 values that I think I should have or I wish I had. Like, just come up with a couple of values that, like, you know, in your heart, you can feel in your soul, you see in your results that these values are of really high importance to you. So I'll give you an example, or tell you just what mine are. Mine are fun and connection. So fun for me is about travel. It's about being high in energy, not taking anything too seriously. It is about trying new things. It's about being outside. It's about being in abundance and comfort. But it is also one of those values that I know I have to check sometimes. So I have to create a way for the things that don't always seem fun to me, like, you know, doing my taxes. Apparently taxes are fun to some people, whatever, rock on, takes all sorts to make the world go round. But for me, doing my taxes is just like, oh God, anything to do with numbers or a spreadsheet, God, I come out in hives, fucking hate it. So I've had to kind of like reframe, okay, well, how does that structure and that order and that kind of logic, which I don't consider or perceive to be fun, how can I make that fun? And that's not like pretending that spreadsheets are fun, let's just use some like colors. No, it's not like that. It's like understanding that in order for me to have the financial wealth, the energy, the time freedom to be able to do the things that I find fun, I have to have the structure in place. That means paying my taxes and having the spreadsheets and having that kind of stuff. And then I outsource a lot of fucking stuff too, if I'm going to be really, really honest. I'm trying more and more and more to outsource the stuff that I don't find fun in my business, and just to concentrate on the stuff that I know I'm really good at and that brings me joy. And then my second value is connection. So connection to self. but also connection to others. So connection to self looks like really deepening my spiritual practice and really, really committing to my meditation and to exposing myself to all sorts of other spiritual experiences. And this is, again, about like understanding my own mind, understanding my thoughts, understanding my programming and unpacking that so that I can, if I want to, be a different version of me, have different thoughts, have different feelings, take different action and therefore create different results for myself, sort of always being in that conversation with myself. And then connection to others really looks like spending time with my friends, with my family, with my boyfriend, in my community, contributing to the world around me. It's really, really important. That's part of my value of connection. And again, bringing that back to this idea that, you know, taxes might not be fun for me, but I also know that having my money in clear and logical order gives me the ability to do fun things like go off to Europe for a month and connect with my family and have that really precious, gorgeous, amazing time and be a full-time Auntie Emily. So, you know, that's how I use those values to be able to manage my life in a way that is creating the result that I want for myself.
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up with M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychaborn.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.
Good morning, you're awesome. Going back to connection, I think this is really important just to highlight really quickly. In order for me to be in full connection and contribution with the world around me, I have to have really fucking solid boundaries in place. So it is impossible to lead with love and compassion for another human being if you have sloppy fucking boundaries. If you're saying yes when you mean no, if you're feeling resentful, if you're sighing and rolling your eyes as you do that thing because it's just easier if you do it, if you do not have solid set boundaries, if you cannot turn around to say somebody and say, this is totally acceptable, I totally get it, but this behavior was not acceptable in this context in this way. If you do not have the ability to be like, okay, that's great that you're not going to the gym today, but I'm going anyway, or, you know, carving out that time for yourself and understanding the light side, the positive side, the good side of selfishness so that you can maintain your energy levels, your physical health, your mental well-being, your emotional state, and your spiritual connection. If you do not have those boundaries in place, you are going to struggle with connection and love and compassion and therefore contribution to the other 7.7 billion people on this planet and the planet itself. So I started there and then I asked myself, okay, well, if I can start constructing and creating my life around these values, what could possibly be holding me back from having these things in my life? And the two things that I landed on right now are comparison and conformity. So when I'm in comparison with another human being, when I feel like I'm in lack, when I feel like I'm not enough, when I feel that other people are doing better than me, they've got more than me, they're moving quicker than me, they're achieving more than me, they're talking about their legacy and their passion and their soul's purpose, and I'm not, oh my God, existential crisis, one way ticket, here I come. Like when I'm in that state, I am far removed from my values and I feel disconnected. I feel disconnected from myself. I feel disconnected from my people. I feel disconnected from my tribe. I feel disconnected from my business. I feel disconnected from my creativity, and none of it's fucking fun. So really managing my own self-worth and my own internal dialogue around comparison, and doing things like really limiting my time on social media, reminding myself that what other people do is other people's journey. It's none of my fucking business. And as long as I am in a state of flow and a state of gratitude, and I'm looking after myself first and foremost, that's really all that matters. And then the second one that was going to hold me back from those values was conformity. And, you know, I think we're all, this is part of everyone's mission on this planet, which is to step out from ourselves and ask ourselves, okay, am I playing a role, just like Grace was in Leonard and Hungry Paul? Am I adopting a role that maybe no one even gave me? Maybe I just fucking picked it up and put it on for some reason when I was 4 years old, or, you know, for whatever reason, I just decided that I needed to be the person that saved the family, or I need to be the person that's in control, or I need to be the person that insert whatever it is here. You know, are you conforming to a preconception of what you think somebody else thinks you should be? And if you are, what would you be free to do if you fucking dropped it? What would you be free to do if, you know, you didn't just listen to the advice of your mum, who's telling you that you should shuffle along the fucking conveyor belt of life, and the next stage for you is definitely having children, because I definitely want grandchildren, and that's what everybody does. You know, what would it look like if you stopped taking financial advice from somebody who doesn't have any money? What would it look like if you stopped conforming to what social norms are telling you to do? I wrote a blog and did a podcast, I can't remember what episode it was, I'll put it in the show notes, about my decision not to have children. You know, that goes completely against the social norm, and I get questioned about it all the time. But while I am in conformity, while I am making decisions based on what I think other people think I should do, I am never, ever, ever going to be living in my value set. If I'm not living in my value set, then I'm never going to be the person that is full of love and compassion and wonder and creativity and contribution, and the world's going to be a poorer place for it. Let me give you a really quick example of this. I was speaking to a client recently, and she was talking about how she wanted to go to university to study music, but her dad told her that she should go to university to study law because that was a more secure job, it was a more sensible job, and, you know, she could always fiddle around with her instruments in her own time. And we were talking about this, and she's a very successful lawyer, she's very fucking unhappy. And I said, well, when was the last time you picked up a musical instrument and played? And she said, oh, fuck, I haven't got time for that. And I said, well, that's just the story that you're telling yourself. When was the last time that you picked up a musical instrument and played for the joy of playing? Anyway, the call finished and she called me back about 3 hours later and she was fucking bawling. I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is going on? And through her tears, she managed to tell me that she'd finished our call and she'd gone up to her attic and she pulled out her old violin and she'd started playing. And she was just overcome by this emotion of just how much music was part of her soul and how it was literally part of her being. And she had denied herself this music. She denied herself this passion. She denied herself this creativity, this energy, this fucking joy for so long because she'd been conforming to somebody else's value set, which was steeped in fear and needing to be safe and not really seeing the value in creativity and play and music. And it got me thinking, like, how many fucking people are playing a silent fucking tune in their cold, dark heart because they've forgotten that they can play music and how fucking poorer is the world because of that? How many people are not playing music and we are missing out on hearing that tune? How many people are not painting? How many people are not making the world beautiful, not living their passion? And this is what we talk about when we talk about living your passion. It's not about what fucking job you do. This is about like coming back to self and being able to express yourself freely, to be able to be creative, to be able to play, to be able to contribute, not for any fucking monetary gain, not because you think that that should be the thing that you do, but just because you fucking love it. And if you love it, then the world is going to love it too. So four kind of like areas of my life, I suppose, that I've really concentrated on since this little epiphany. The first is like becoming like steel fucking clear on what I'm feeding myself mentally. So really limiting my time on social media, really being careful about the conversations that I enter in and the people that I have those conversations with, coming back to the work that I do day in, day out on myself, which is all about understanding better the thoughts that I have, why I have them, where they've come from, if they're real, if I need to alter them, and shifting the paradigm, shifting the mental habits that I have around my own self-worth and around who I think I am, so that I can lead into the next bit, which is like this like idea of creativity and play. Who is happy? Like genuinely, who's happy? And the answer that came to me was like, fucking children, man. Children are fucking happy. And here's why. They are creative, they play, they're in the moment, they're curious. And so that has got to be one of the priorities in my life. That comes before anything else I do. I've got to give myself the space to be able to be creative and to play. And for me, that looks like interior design and having beautiful things in my surroundings. And, you know, I did some redecorating and stuff over the weekend, and it was just like so my happy place. And I don't know why I've been denying myself that. Another one for me is reading. That's like my idea of play. It's my idea of heaven. It's just my stimulation. I fucking love it. Another one for me is like being outside in nature. So all of these things, really building them, purposely building them into my life, it's my full-time job, it's my priority, it has to be my priority if I'm going to be able to contribute to the world. The other segment that's sort of four steps to what I'm doing at the moment is my physical health and really, really taking charge, like adult charge of my physical vessel, really monitoring and not like in a restrictive way, but like really genuinely asking myself, how can I best treat this one beautiful, divine miracle of a body that I have been gifted. And I am worthy of having a fit and healthy and vital body, because without it, I can't have fun and I can't have my need for connection met. So really prioritizing my physical health, including what I eat, when I eat, not when I eat, but you know, what I eat, how much I eat, how much I exercise, how much I get outside. And that doesn't necessarily mean running a fucking marathon every day. Sometimes it's just like stretching on a mat, you know, and just like feeling the wind in my face and taking some really deep breaths and really learning how to control my breath and that kind of stuff. And then the last one is obviously my spiritual connection. So I've really upped my meditation and my contemplativeness, and I'm going to be sharing much more of that in the following weeks, because that for me has got to be really key to understanding myself better. And the moment I understand myself better, I can present as a more loving, more compassionate, more generous version of me. It's that kind of old adage, isn't it, which is my cup overfloweth. Like if you put yourself as a priority, if you put yourself first, if you are your full-time job, then everything else that you do in the wake of that will come from a place of sort of real divine contribution. And then you may very well find that you are, in inverted commas, living on purpose. And here's the thing, what curiosity and play and that sort of childlike creativity will allow you to do, especially when you back yourself, when you believe in yourself, when you have really sort of unpacked and freed yourself from the shackles of what you think other people think you should be doing, you will give yourself the opportunity to try stuff. You'll give yourself the opportunity to leave your shit job because you're like, this doesn't match my value set anymore. This doesn't make me feel good. This isn't me prioritizing my own mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional health. I'm going to go and I'm going to try a different job. I don't know if that's going to be the same job I'm going to be in for the rest of my life. I don't know if that's going to tick all my boxes, but I'm going to give it a go. And then the more things that you sort of pollinate, if that makes sense, the more things that you try, the more you will just find yourself naturally understanding yourself even more. You will grow in confidence. You will realize that you've got courage beyond what you even thought was possible. You will realize that you're more connected, that you are networking, that you have this kind of like sudden lease of life again. And if everybody was wandering around this planet in a state of creativity and play and contribution and love with their fierce boundaries but full of fucking love and compassion for each other. Yeah, that is global change. But you have to make your own decision to put yourself first. You have to make your own decision to make yourself your full-time job. And that is your purpose. And if that was everybody's purpose, then we would live in a much nicer world. So that is me done and dusted for this episode. Keep your ears peeled because there will be more on this coming up. I'm going to sort of document this idea of me being my full-time job, and we will see what comes of it. But, you know, one thing I do know for sure is that when you are in your sort of peak emotional, mental, spiritual, creative, vibrational frequency, and you are really contributing to the world around you from a place of energy and abundance, then the universe compensates that in all sorts of ways. But one of those energies will be in the compensation of money, which means that I get to live my values even more. It means I get to have those experiences which help me connect and have even more fun. So that is where I have landed. I trust that has helped. I trust that has been useful. Feel free to email me info@emilychadbourne.com if you would like more information, or if you've got more questions, or if you'd like me to unpack anything a little further. Please follow me on Instagram. Something exciting is happening this weekend. It will be all over Instagram. My Insta stories are often hilarious, and that's where I'll be documenting quite a lot of sort of my day-to-day rituals and routines and tangibles that I'm putting in place to make sure that I am my full-time job first and foremost. So if you want to join me on that journey, please do so. Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. And feel free to join my free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life. Thank you very much for listening. Oh, wait, rate and review. My VA always tells me off because I forget to ask you to rate and review. Rate and review. Go to iTunes, maybe. And please feel free to share this episode if you loved it.